This morning, I want to talk about the necessity of being holy. Jesus talks about being perfect. Is our Heavenly Father's perfect in Matthew 5:48. And in the Old Testament, Jesus said, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord, am holy." That's in Leviticus 19:2. Holy means being set apart. Really, ultimately, means being godlike. Right around Christmas time, I had a couple conversations with two women, and they both have children. And one of the women, I talked about what she went through over the Easter Triduum, and she was so excited because she was baptized, confirmed, received her first Holy Communion, and that was her Easter Triduum. Compare and contrast this with another woman, and I asked this other woman, "Did you get to church on Easter?" "No, but my daughter and I, we went to a coffee shop and a movie." Wow, Easter Sunday. But being holy is more than just going to church. Remember that Pharisee in the gospel. This was in Luke chapter 18, verse 9 to 14. And in fact, I was looking up that scripture verse before we went to eat. And some of you probably saw me on my cell phone. Smartphone. Oh, he's text messaging. So, no, I was. You know, you don't need those big, thick scripture concordance anymore. All you have to do is just type in the verse, and it comes up instantaneously. You don't have to have this big, heavy book. And, of course, they're very valuable because in the wintertime you put them in your trunk and you got wait for when it snows. Just put your scripture concordance in your trunk, and you can drive in the wintertime and have bald tires, and you can still go because it's so heavy. And it's so nice because sometimes I don't have my breviary with me, so I want to say my Liturgy of Hours. You can get them on your smartphone. It's wonderful. Scriptures, just really about anything you get on your anti-dummy phone. And so some priests were using their smartphone praying in the confessional. And some people went to confession and seen Father on his cell phone. He's checking whether the Royals won. No, he's saying his Liturgy of Hours. So any of the letters go to the bishop. So an edict came from on high. No cell phones in the confessional. And even though we were praying in the confessional, but people see. I remember one time a friend of mine called me and finally, got her daughter to go to confession. Finally. She goes to confession. And she's confessing her sins. And you can kind of see to the little holes in the screen. And as she's pouring out her heart and confessing her sins, Father's reading a magazine. That's horrible. And she was completely scandalized. So people go to confession and they see Father on their cell phone and they think, oh, he's wants to know who won the bowling championships, as if somebody actually ever does check the bowling championships. It's more of some, I bet you there's a bowler here. So when I was back there checking on my cell phone, I was looking up some scripture passages so I wasn't, you know, scanning the news or text message. Anyway, so in this gospel passage in Luke's gospel, chapter 18, verse 9 and 14. We've heard this time and time again in church. The Pharisee comes in and says, "I'm glad I'm not like that tax collector. I go to the temple, I tithe, I do this, I do that. I'm glad I'm not like him." And then the tax collector says, "Oh, be merciful to me, Lord, I'm a sinner." And Jesus says, "He left sanctified, not the former." And so it's more than going to church. But it all starts, our faith starts with humility and saying, I love saying this, and maybe some of you have heard me say this before, but the three most important things of the faith, according to St. Augustine, are number one, humility. I know maybe some of you are writing this down. It's good to write these things down, especially this. St. Augustine says the most important thing in the faith is number one, humility. You ready for number two? Humility. Are you ready for number three? Humility. Humility, humility, humility. And then you might ask, how is it possible to be perfect this side of eternity? Now, even though we cannot be perfect in a strictest sense, we can approach perfection. We really can approach perfection. We can never be strictly perfect. That's impossible this side of eternity. But we can certainly approach it with God's grace. And so many people have no idea what grace is. In fact, when people stay away from confession, I'm convinced they don't know what grace is. They may give the right answer when asked what grace is, but they really don't get it. And they don't know what a sacrament is. So we're going to have some confessions after this. In fact, after this conference, I'll be in the confessional, this one over here. But sacraments are signs started by Christ to give grace. The sign of baptism is water. Water is a sign of life. Without water, we're dead in 2 weeks. So God uses that sign to give us his life. So water is poured, or a person is immersed in water, and then the person receives God's life in their soul. That's what grace is, the very life of God. Really, the life of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is injected, infused, instilled in the soul for the first time. And that's the condition of original sin, not having God's life, not having grace. So when someone dies without God's grace in their soul, they cannot enter heaven. They will not enter heaven. It's impossible. So baptism, that's why baptism is the most essential sacrament. The most important sacrament is the Eucharist. So bread is a staff of life. It's probably, you'd be hard-pressed to go anywhere in the world and they don't have bread. That ya-ya pizzas that brought everyone had a piece of bread. I didn't want the bread. You fill up with bread, there's less pizza. It's really true. So I didn't eat the bread so I could have a couple more pieces of pizza. And so God uses that sign, turns it into himself, and we receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity, spiritually God in our soul too. What's the sign of confession? Our sorrow for sins. And then we get our sins forgiven. It's Jesus who forgives the sins. But we receive grace, God's life in our soul. So if Catholics really realize that they receive Trinitarian life in their soul when they receive any sacraments, including confession, they would go to confession frequently. They really realize that. To receive an infusion of Trinitarian life in your soul when you go to confession. That's why Mother Teresa went once a week. I try to go once a week. I want that grace. Plus, I need it too. It helps me grow in holiness. And so with God's grace, we truly can approach perfection. All of us here are called to be great saints. Oh, I can't be like Mother Teresa. Yes, you can. You can be holier than Mother Teresa. Jesus said that no man ever born of woman was greater than John Baptist, but yet you can be greater than him if you have childlike faith, if you humble yourself like a child. All of us, no matter what our past is, can be great saints. Do you think God called Peter for what he was? When Peter really figured out who he was dealing with, he got on his knees and said, Lord, leave me. I'm a sinful man. Jesus stood him up and said, you're going to be a fisher of men from now on. Jesus Christ didn't call Peter for what he was. He called him for what he could be with his grace. Mary Magdalene had seven demons. Now she's portrayed as a prostitute. Well, we don't know that. Doesn't say that in Scripture. Who knows what? But she had a sinful past. She opened her door and demons just flooded into her soul. I don't know what she did. I don't care what she did. Doesn't matter what she did. God didn't call Mary Magdalene for what she did, but what she could be with his grace. And she was the first of the disciples that he appeared to. Not Peter, her. And of the apostles, it was Peter because he was the first pope. He was the first leader. But of the disciples in general, overall, it was her. Of course, we know that after his resurrection, you know who he appeared to first. His mother. But of the disciples, it was Mary Magdalene. God wills it all, that all of us become a saint, and we were created for it. We are created first and foremost to be holy, to be saints. Not called to the single life first, or the married life first, or the priesthood first, or the religious life first. We were called first to be holy, then to do whatever it is God wants us to do. Because if we're not holy, we're not going to do what God wants us to do. Now, holiness happens when a humble heart travels the road of, and I know you don't want to hear this. I know you don't want to hear this. But holiness happens when a humble heart travels the road of detachment. We have to detach ourselves from things of the world. Now that doesn't mean we're not going to use things of the world or enjoy things for the world. It's do we desire things of the world. There's a difference. This is very important, folks. None of you is called to live the life of poverty that I have as a priest. You are in the world more than me. I've been called to live the life of poverty. If you ever see a priest drive a Lamborghini, you call him on the carpet. Tell him to get a Hyundai or a Chevy. Yeah, but someone gave me the money. Tough. We're called to live this life of poverty radically. But you have families. You have to take care of yourselves when you retire. Yes, you need to help the church and the poor, but you're not called to poverty like I am. So you need to possess things of the world. God wants you to be successful monetarily. How about that rich man, Zacchaeus? Very rich man. Jesus called him from that sycamore tree because he's a little short guy. Now I ask you, did Jesus ask him to give all his money away like the rich man in Matthew 19? Did he? No, he didn't. He didn't ask him to give everything away and follow me. He didn't do that. He left him in his rich state. Joseph of Arimathea. Jesus didn't ask him to give all his money away, did he? No. But he asked him to be generous, and Zacchaeus said, from now on I'll give half of what I make to the poor. He said, salvation has come to your house today. But we're called to be detached. So if I'm detached from apple pie, that doesn't mean I might have some for lunch and enjoy it. I just don't desire it. Want to hear a funny story? Now, having a motorcycle, that's not intrinsically evil. There's priests that have motorcycles. There's nothing wrong with having a motorcycle. I know this shocks you, but I used to have a motorcycle. Yeah, I was a biker. And I had a beard. Not for a long time, but a little longer hair. I had hair, but it's leaving me right here. I keep telling my barber, mow it down, not yet. I got the little comb over it going, but I had this motorcycle. Oh, they're fun. Oh, and for the longest time, I really desired one. I craved one to get on that open road, wind in the face. You ever get hit by a June bug at 60 miles an hour on the forehead, and that hurts? Don't smile, you might get bugs in your teeth. In Iowa, there's no helmet law, but it's just, freedom, right, on the road. So then, Lord, I need to grow in attachment. And so now God has blessed me. I don't desire a motorcycle anymore. I don't. I just don't desire one anymore. That's a gift. Somebody came to the office. Hey, I just bought this motorcycle. You want to take it for a spin? And I thought, I don't even know how to shift one. It's been so long. But you know, you get on it and you know right away. So I took it around the block and I enjoyed it. I did. I confess. I enjoyed it. But I don't desire a motorcycle anymore. You see the difference? When you become attached to God and really get closer to God, things of the world don't cut it anymore. They just don't do it anymore. When you have tasted filet mignon, medium rare. Who orders steak well done? Who does that? Just get a sole of a shoe and eat it. Well done steak, all dried out. Oh, that's awful. So when someone has tried steak medium rare, T-bone steak, filet mignon medium rare, oh, red inside. Mushrooms on top, baked potato with chives and sour cream, real butter. Yes, apple pie. I know how to make apple pie. Crust from scratch. Vanilla bean ice cream on top. Little glass of Cabernet. You don't go back to liver and onions. Even though I love liver and onions, you don't go back to it when you've tasted filet mignon. So when we've tasted the divine nature of God, you don't go back to these things that we have this ache inside right here. You know what I'm talking about. We have this ache. We all have it. It can only be satisfied by God. And oh, how we try to medicate it with things of the world, which cannot satisfy. They will never satisfy. I used to go up to Great Bear Lake. That's where the Arctic Circle is for the big lake trout with the plastic surgeon. Actually, I used to travel with a dentist and a psychiatrist. Worked out because when I'd get a bad tooth, I'd go crazy. You catch the world record lake trout and you get it in the boat and you take a picture and you're the champion. You catch the world record lake trout. What do you do next? It's never enough. He's enough. So that's what growing in detachment is. Detachment to things of the world and attachment to God. When we become attached to Him, we're not attached to anything in the world. And it starts with humility. St. John of the Cross says in his Ascent of Mount Carmel that a divided heart is a tormented heart. A divided heart is a tormented heart. And that's true, it's true, it's true. Matthew 6:24. We cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon, things of the world. It's not just money, it's just things of the world. I've got to tell you this story to really outline this. You know Father Cain? He's in the National Guard, in the military, he's got all these gold stars, and he's going to be a colonel someday. He's a major, and he's just really high up. He's a wonderful priest, but he's a chaplain in the military. So he has to do a weekend every month guard duty. He's a marvelous priest. So I'm his assistant pastor, and so he usually asked me to cover for him, and it used to be at St. George's in Morris Bluff, and now it's St. James in Mead. Well, back when it was, for a couple years, I was going every month to St. George's in Morris Bluff. And there was a lady there, and she had a hairdo like my aunt, you know, the old hairdo where it was like five stories. And I don't know where my aunt got her hair done, but it was amazing. It was really a work of art. You had a duck when you walked into doors and all that. helicopter port on top. Then you wonder why bats always flew into women's hair. I don't know. That was the reason. So there was this woman up there, and she was the marvelous woman, good Catholic, and God rest her soul, she just recently died. Her name is Nadine, and her specialty was making kolaches. And I love kolaches. And you see, I'm half Czech. I'm Irish and English, and I play it to the Irish and English whenever I'm with them, and when I'm in the Bohemian Alps, I play it up to the max. But I love kolaches. So Nadine, she makes kolaches, and you know what her license plate is? She had a custom license plate. It was kolache. So I'd go up there, she'd find out ahead of time, and there'd be a plate of freshly baked, not day old, freshly baked kolaches, and the crust and the dough was so tender, and she had a different apricot and strawberry and or cherry and you name poppy seed. So you had three sisters, and that all I like poppy seed because my sisters are faster than me, and then the poppy seed was left, and so I like poppy seeds. But anyway, so I grew up with them. Mom used to crumble up the kolaches, put in my baby formula. That's why I'm so tall. So there's Nadine and her kolaches. And I'd say, Nadine, these kolaches are so good, your license plate should be kolache. It is! And she was just wonderful. And one of my regrets in life is not learning how to make them from Nadine. And her daughter didn't learn how to make them. So anyway, one Sunday I went and there was two plates of kolaches. Two plates. Now when I would drive home from Morris Bluff, you would drive past Prague. And a lot of the Sundays I'd be driving past Prague and my engine, my car would have problems. And I'd have engine problems. I'd have to pull over at the kolache corner. And whenever I was done eating duck dumplings and sauerkraut, my car was just fine. So I'd have to pull over a lot of these Sundays and have duck dumplings and sauerkraut, like my Bohemian grandma, like get at the Bohemian Cafe. You know the Bohemian Cafe jingle in Omaha. Dumplings and kraut tonight at the Bohemian Cafe. Plenty of parking. Draft beer that's sparkling. See you at lunch. Okay. So, I mean, I grew up with this stuff. So I'd have to pull over and then I'd eat duck dumplings and sauerkraut. So that particular weekend where I had two plates of kolaches, probably wondering, what's this have to do with detachment? I'm getting there, folks. I am. I'm getting there. I'm detached from kolaches, but I still enjoy them. So I'm driving, and doggone it, my stupid car, I got to get back to Lincoln. It's giving me, I got to pull over. And so I pull over, and I got these two plates of kolaches in the car. And I go in, and I kind of scan the crowd to see if there's anyone I know I can sit with them. And I don't really recognize anybody. But there's this couple sitting at the bar, and you can order and eat at the bar, and there's tables. And they're just sitting there, and I look at them, and they look at me, and I says, is that place taken? Seat next to them? No, Father, sit right down. They're very happy. And so I knew right then and there they're Catholic. So I sit down, and I said, now what are you two doing here? Father, we're celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary. At the kolache corner? Well, Father, we got engaged at the Bohemian Cafe in Omaha while eating duck dumplings and sauerkraut. So we thought we need to celebrate eating duck. Plus, we have a little cabin on a sand pit right next to here, up by North Bend, by Morris Bluffs. We have a cabin. So oftentimes when we are at our cabin, we'll come here and eat duck dumplings. But you know, it's our anniversary. We wanted to recreate the atmosphere. So I said, where'd you grow up? Well, we grew up in Omaha. And so it turns out that we grew up about a mile apart, but I never knew them. They never knew me. But we had these friends in common because they went to a Catholic high school. They went to Catholic grade school, Catholic high school. They went to Catholic grade school. and Catholic high school. But I went to another Catholic high school, but we knew these people in common. And so, really, things were going really great, and I thought to myself, you know, I'm going to be committing gluttony here. I got two plates of kolaches, and they love kolaches, because I asked them if they like kolaches. It's their 25th anniversary. Don't be stingy. Don't be selfish. Go get that second plate of kolaches and give it to them for their anniversary. So I says, I'll be right back. I have an anniversary gift for you. Really? Oh, yeah. And so we were flying about this high. So when I walked in and say, happy anniversary with the kolaches, we were flying right up here. We were getting along so well. Here we were Catholics. We grew up a mile apart, and we have friends in common, and we both like kolaches and duck dumplings and sauerkraut, and I give them this whole plate full of fresh kolaches. We're way up here, flying way up here until I asked him, it was a Sunday, and until I asked him what mass they went to. It was like finding a horsefly in your soup, one that was just in a pile of doo-doo outside on the sidewalk. He kind of turned away from me in anger. And the wife said, in a stammering voice, you see, Father, when we go on vacation to our little cabin on the sandpit, and it's a Sunday, we don't go to Mass. And I turned away. And it was very awkward, very uncomfortable. Now, you're looking at somebody that's affected by original sin too. Not just all of you. Yes, I'm affected by original sin. And the first thing that I thought of when this happened was, not these poor sinners, I have to somehow get them back. No. The first thing I thought of when this happened was, why did I give them those kolaches? Why did I give them my kolaches? I could have froze them. So after about 5 minutes of this awkward eating, and I said to him, I said a little prayer. I said, what the heck? I turned to him and I said, hey, can I ask you a question? And the husband really fast said, yeah, as long as it's not about going to church. And I said, remember, we were clear up here, and we're way down here. And I said, when you come to communion, and you receive that host, what is it exactly that you're receiving? And I knew what the man would say right away. He says, that's the body of Christ. I said, really? I don't believe it. No, it's the body of Christ. Well, let me ask you this. Do we receive, does the bread really actually turn into the flesh and blood of Jesus, or do we receive the body of blood spiritually? Kind of symbolically. It's a piece of bread, but we receive the body of Christ spiritually in our hearts. Yeah, that's it. It's not really the flesh and blood of Jesus. It's just a symbol, but we just receive the body of Christ spiritually. I said, I knew that. I knew that. Then I told him some stories. I told him what happened to me. I said, that's not bread. Looks like bread, tastes like bread, smells like bread. It's the flesh and blood of our Lord. And I told him what a black mass was, what they do. People steal Holy Communion, satanic cult members. Then they get a prostitute, use the prostitute as the altar and take a host. They do bad things to the host because Satan knows it's not a symbol. He knows it's the flesh and blood of our Lord. So I'm just telling him these things. And I says, all I ask you to do is, don't take my word for it. Go into a church, look at the tabernacle, say, Lord, are you really in there? Or is it just a bread box? Because if it is a bread box, what difference does it make? Go ahead and worship the Lord as if they do that in their cabin anyway. It's in your cabin. But just ask him. And if you do that with a humble heart, he'll let you know. And then once you do know that's our Lord, you'll never miss Mass. Because there's a church in Morris Bluff. There's a church in Prague. There's a church in North Bend across the river. Once you know it's Jesus, you can't stay away. So this couple, we talk about detachment. This couple was more attached to their little cabin on the sandpit than they were to God. And so we want to work on our attachment to God. So we want to talk further about in humility, walking and progressing along that road towards God with a humble heart. Becoming more attached to him and detached from things of the world. And what does this have to do with divine mercy? Everything. Everything. Because only in humility do we open up our hearts to God. And then when we do that, we become holy, saintly, attached to our Creator, our Savior, our Sanctifier, which leads us to be merciful. Because a holy person is not going to be merciful. Not really. It's impossible. Somebody that's not holy is going to be in for revenge and holding grudges. Have you ever read about people, family members of somebody that was murdered and then they're present at the execution and they want to see the person fry? I want to see him suffer. So when we're holy, then leads us to be merciful. Then that sets us up to be able to receive God's mercy. And remember that 153 fish in the net yesterday in his gospel. It's open to all of us, God's mercy.